Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is your very first time tuning in, I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hart. Our vision here at Voice of Destiny is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture so that you can be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. Today is a special segment show, Couples for Destiny, vision to help you be empowered to capture God's vision and God's principles for the oneness of your marriage so that you can realize the fullness of what God has intended for you in your covenant marriage. Marriage is so very important, not only in our lives as believers, but in the lives of our communities, but all through our history. Marriage has been the system that God has used to cause us to be able to manage our lives with godly order and covenant protections. In fact, it's been a controversy in the spiritual realm, the intangible realm, and in the natural realm about what marriage is and how marriage should be and how we should do marriage. In fact, Matthew 19:3 says some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that one who made them at the beginning made them male and female? For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." We are talking about the oneness of marriage because it is a principle that would help those of us that want to be on the side of the statistics that marriages are sustaining and remaining, you know, that 50% statistics here in America, and then we have another 50% that are divorcing. But there seems to be a mystery behind what it is that those 50% that are making it are doing. And in order for us to explore these principles and this wisdom about oneness of marriage, I've asked, along with my associate Juanita Harris, to the Juanita and Wendell Burden to come and to talk with us about these insights about the oneness of marriage, the power of marriage, the potential of marriage. So those of us that want to be on that side that is surviving, and those of us that want to help those that are struggling, who have not been able to seem to manage to keep their oneness manifested in their union, we want you to be able to have the tools to walk that out and to fulfill it, because this is God's plan for our life. He called us man and woman to be one, husband and wife, so that we can walk out this incredible principle of covenant that God has ordained for us. So I want to welcome Juanita Harris back to the show again. And Juanita, I want you to welcome our guests, Wendell and Juanita Burden.
Yes, welcome, Wendell and Juanita. We thank you for coming and sharing with us today on this show on Voices of Destiny. And we look forward to hearing how in your marriage you've managed to go forth for 41 years, which for many people that's longer than they've been alive, so they can't even imagine. But, you know, it's a journey, and we would just like to hear about your journey.
Okay, first of all, we've been married going on 52 years now.
Woo!
We've been around for a little while. And, yes, it's been a journey, but, you know, it's been a fantastic journey. I'm not saying we haven't had our ups and downs. We've had to learn like everyone else. And as I said before, marriage is, some people would say it's 50-50. No, it's 100-100. You've got to put 100% into it, and she has to put 100% into it. And that's how marriages are going to make it.
Yeah,
I agree with my husband that it's been quite an interesting journey, and that to make it for 51, going on 52 years, it's God's grace, and putting him as the head of this relationship has been how we have made it these 51, going on 52 years.
Wow. Right. Well, I think it's important that that when we have couples on, that we give them a chance to talk about how long they have been developing the craft of oneness in marriage. Because for a lot of people, the idea that somebody's been married more than 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, it's totally unheard of. So it's incredible that you have been the longest married couple that we've had on this segment. And I think people need to hear these numbers so they can know that it's within the realm of God's possibility that they can begin their covenant marriage and it be lasting. How have you guys learned over the years to define marriage? Has your definition of what marriage is to you guys, has it changed over the years? Because this show is not just for married people, it's for those that are called to marriage. How should we understand what marriage is so that we can manage our expectations when we are in the actual culture of marriage?
You want to go first, babe?
Oh, okay, I was waiting on you.
Yeah.
The one thing that in the beginning that as we were dating, and I should say courting, we both
mm-hmm.
love the Lord, and one of the things that we decided together in prayer was that there was no option for divorce, because this was a covenant marriage, and with a covenant, there is no option of a divorce. So we then had to learn how God wanted us to live, how God wanted this relationship to be. And one of the other things he did was set a vision for our marriage. And so that had helped us in our relationship to know that God had a purpose and plan of bringing us together, and we had to let him lead us in this relationship. But the first thing we had said, even before we got married, was there's no option for divorce in this relationship.
That was absolutely something that I said in my marriage also. Divorce wasn't even to be mentioned.
So one of the things we did all for many years, even though we had our difficulties, we realized that this was a covenant marriage and not a contractual marriage. And because we were in covenant with each other, we knew that this covenant was one because God is a covenant-keeping God. And as long as we are in covenant with one another, you know, there's no way out. We're gonna make this thing work. And we had to learn that everything that we did, we had to realize it was always we instead of me. It was not an individual thing. We worked things out together. Even though my wife said earlier, and I agree with it, that my responsibility as being the head of the household, it wasn't that I was the head of the household by strong arm. It was the head of the household as we discussed things together and we made decisions together. And that's how we made it through.
Well, I think that decision that you guys made about no divorce, it put a sense of responsibility on that relationship that if anything came up, you need to solve it because you were attached
absolutely.
To each other for life, and that required you as a couple and as individuals to develop some decision-making powers. We're going to take a destiny break here, but I would like for us to come back and talk about, you know, how does a couple develop the decision-making powers of their union? Because it seems like people, they are attracted to each other. Opposites attract before they're married. But once they're in the context of marriage, those opposites drive them to attack each other. How is it that a couple can develop tactical problem-solving skills? Because in any oneness marriage, any lasting marriage, there's going to come obstacles that are from external sources and then sometimes from internal sources.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
And God loses love. If you lose your love, and I lose my love.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Voice of Destiny show. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hobbs, and my co-host today is life coach Juanita Harris, and we're blessed to have a conversation with Wendell and Juanita Burden, who are the pastors of Family Life Ministries International, who has been married over 52 years and have taught marriage principles all over the globe for decades, and we are blessed to have them here to share their insights. And we've been talking about the power decision of a covenant-lasting marriage, a oneness marriage, is that divorce is not an option, which puts a demand on each, the husband and the wife, to begin to work at and to preserve and to protect and develop a certain kind of skill set to keep their union. And I asked before we went to the last, last Destiny break that, Wendell, we need, if you could give us some insight and some strategies about how a couple can develop a power decision or problem-solving decisions, you know, inside of the union through the wisdom that God has shown you over the years, because you've helped so many couples. What is it that you can guide couples in terms of holding on to that oneness and solving the problems that challenges that oneness?
You know, one of the things that we listen to and we teach a course on is how to come into an agreement. We have a very difficult time, marriages do, in how to come into an agreement. I mean, men think one way and women think another. And so we have a very difficult time at times trying to realize how do we come into an agreement. And one of the things that we do is that, you know, when we have an issue that comes up, we realize that the world always has a deadline, but God only gives us lifelines. So we're not going to be let the world decide which way we're going to be going. We let the Lord tell us what we should be doing and what we should not be doing. Right. I mean, when you want to explain to them how we do that?
Excuse me. And the way that we have found the best way to do it without me getting very hysterical, wanting my way, and him with his very logical mind saying, well, this is the way I think we should do it, we just literally go to prayer. And maybe he is right. Maybe his way is right and mine is wrong, or it could be vice versa. So when we go into prayer, we go into prayer and ask God to show us his way in this situation. And we literally pray in the spirit. And then we will come together. And if we come together and we don't have the same mind in the situation, my husband decides we're not making a move until we come into agreement. So we go back into prayer until we both come back with the same answer. And it could be that neither one of us are right. God may give us a total different answer as to how to handle this situation. And so we have found that that is the true way that it works for us, because I can't say to him, well, if you had done it my way, we wouldn't be in this mess. And he can't say to me, if you had listened to me, we wouldn't be in this mess. So when we take it to the Lord and he in prayer, in the spirit, and we come back out with the same answer, we know that we have heard from God.
And me as being the head of the household, I you know, as a family, I make a decision whenever we get ready to go into, we have to make an agreement on something. My decision is this, is that we don't move until we hear from God. And we don't let the world tell us, oh, no, you got to do it right now. You got to do it right now. If you don't do it now, the sale's going to be off. Well, we just let it slide, okay? If the sale's going to be off, I can assure you, you go back, they'll have that sale still on if you need it. And so we make your decisions until we come into an agreement. I really hold us to that. And that way she can never say, if you had to listen to me, we'd never be in this mess. And so that relieves that, because we're always in agreement before we do it.
Wow.
Man. And it sounds like that was a process that you had to work through, and you've learned each other's character ways. And so you know what the outcome is going to be if you don't hear from God. So you know what the outcome is going to be, and neither one of you wants that outcome. So you determine that you're going to go to God and let God make that decision. And then we can just say, well, God says, and usually what God says, I've never known him to be wrong, ever.
Amen. And you know, one of the things also, when we do that, if we do make a bad mistake, say we missed it and we made a bad decision, we made the bad decision together. Wow. It wasn't like I made the bad decision or she made the bad decision. We made the bad decision together, and then we have to retune ourselves saying, Lord, where did we miss you in this? Did we miss you in this, and why did we miss you? And then we got to go back in prayer to make sure we're in line with what God wants us to do.
Wow.
Because sometimes we do make bad decisions.
And one of the statements that we use all the time, it takes far less time to come into a genuine agreement than it takes to unravel the consequences of a bad decision.
Wow. Wow.
Could you repeat that, please?
it takes far less time to come into a genuine agreement than it takes to unravel the consequences of a bad decision.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. Well, you know, that's powerful, but you know, a lot of times couples learn their agreement behaviors from their parents, their family of
Absolutely.
Origin.
That's right.
And so what are some of the common dilemmas that you've ran in helping couples to get to practicing authentic decision-making, agreement, coming into agreement because of the barriers from where they've come from? What are some of the common challenges, and what advice would you give to help people to overcome them?
Well, one of the first things we do when we take people in for counseling is we give them a family history that's about, six or seven pages. And on that history, it begins to tell us who was the disciplinarian in your family, who made all of the decisions in your family. So before we get that person for counseling, at the very first time, we've already found out about their family history. So we begin watching them. We begin to share with them, these are some of the things that you have learned from your parents. Now we have to undo those thoughts and do it God's way. So we already have a family history on how their family has worked, be it from the female or the male. And so we take that family history and begin to apply it to their lives and say, for instance, do you see how you've done exactly as your parents have done or your mom has done? Do you see that you're doing the same thing your father has done and it hasn't worked? And then they zero in and says, well, I never noticed that. And that's how we begin to do our counseling with some of our couples.
And then we also have a 12-week course, which we do for premarital counseling. And many times, even though couples have been married, we still take them through some of the things that we did for premarital. And it takes them step by step by step, because it's very difficult to make a change from A to Z. But if you go through the process of getting to Z, then you have a better idea, then you have a better chance of surviving some of the difficulties that we have in marriage. But you have to understand that marriage was brought in the book of Genesis and how God designed it, and then it just works straight through. Once you realize you're one flesh together and that how God designed us, then we can overcome and we can make those changes.
Wow. Well, you know, I would love for us to talk more about the what is oneness of flesh. Because a lot of times couples come into out of this culture, the American culture, the Western culture, we come into a marriage with an idea of marriage being more contractual than it being of a covenant nature. And we don't know the difference between the two. We don't even know how to choose one over the other because we don't recognize what one is and what the other is. And I think for couples who want to grow and nurture and walk in oneness in their marriage, this concept of covenant marriage, this one flesh marriage, is something that really needs to be established to protect the spiritual life, the emotional life, the physical life, the financial life of a union. And I got to tell you, when I grew up, my parents were married for 28 years, and there's just a lot of things that my parents didn't know to model, because my dad came from a single parent home. He was raised by his father because his mother died, and my father saw his father enter in and get out of relationships. By the time my granddad had died, it was said that he had been married legally 10 times. And so my father had a really bad image about the permanence of a union. And then my mother came from a single parent home herself and didn't have that much contact with her dad. And so people come into this union, this marriage relationship, with histrionics and concepts and ideas that's not really consistent with God's original idea for his invention for marriage. And if we can talk about that when we get back, I think it will be really helpful to some of the couples that are making decisions for oneness. We'll be right back.
Now, I don't want to lose the time that we have.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them.
You too can become a monthly Voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly Voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to a special edition of the Voice of Destiny show, Couples for Destiny. And our guest today is Pastors Wendell and Juanita Burton, the founders of Family Life Ministries International. You guys are based, where in Pennsylvania are you guys located? And can you give our listeners a location, a web location where they can connect with you and be a part of your ministry if they're in your region, because we have listeners that come from all over, especially in Pennsylvania. I would love for them to know how to get themselves into a church environment. It really nurtures the family and as well as marriage. If you can let us know how to connect with you, and then let's continue to talk about the principle of one flesh marriage.
Sure. Yes, we're located in New York, Pennsylvania. It's in, our website is flmi.us, and you can get us on our website to find out more about us. I'll even give you our phone number. It's 717-852-7369, and we would be honored to be able to help our families. That's our ultimate goal. That's our vision, that we help families join together and stay as one the way God had designed them to be.
And our street address is 617 West Market Street, Pennsylvania, 17408. We would be delighted to have you. We know that when you show up, that you truly are a gift from God to us, and we don't take that lightly.
Yes.
Wow.
So,
praise God.
Would you like me to go into our belief on oneness?
Yeah, the oneness in marriage. Yeah, absolutely. God's invention. Help us to understand it so that we can walk in the principle like you guys have done for 52 years.
Yes, one of the things that we look at, you know, everything that I know, that when God designed everything in Genesis, he had a reason for what he did. And I know whenever he made Adam male and female, and that's a very important statement. And it wasn't Adam that says, you know, it's not good for me to be alone. He said it was God that came to Adam and said it's not good for Adam to be alone. And when he put Adam into a deep sleep, and this is a real quick version of everything, how I would teach this. When he put Adam into a deep sleep, he took a rib from Adam, which we say is a chamber from Adam, and that portion of Adam that he took away was the female aspect that Adam had within himself. And so God separated the female plus the male. He had separated them apart from each other, and it was just a part of what Adam was originally, because Adam no longer then was male and female. And so when God walked into the Garden of Eden, he would call Adam, and both of them were answered because they were, he considered them still both Adam. Eve was the completeness of Adam. When you realize that he was no longer the full male and female, but when they were together, they were the completeness that God had designed. When we understand that when my completeness of what I do, my completeness is my wife. She's my Eve. I'm Adam. And when God looks at us, he looks at us as being one, the completeness that he designed from the very beginning. When we understand that God took her from the side of our heart, she is the side of us that is, whatever parts we're missing, she has it. Whatever she's missing, I have it. And we stand back to back to protect each other with the gifting that God has given us.
Wow.
And I would add to that as he said about the beginning of the marriage, the covenant marriage is the divine call to display unity to a broken world and to reflect the character of Christ. It is a call, this is what we really like to say to them, it's a call to holiness, always our happiness. And when we look at spouse in relationship to that, as I look at my husband, that he is the son of God and he looks at me as the daughter of God, then we begin to realize how important it is as to how we treat one another. And if you don't have God as the head of that union, you will not have the full benefits and blessing of the covenant. And so we try to teach them to avoid endless and unnecessary conflict. Both of them should be believers who are committed to God first and then to each other. And when you do that, we'll have a love that's unconditional, a forgiveness that is unending, and an attitude that is unselfish. And just in doing this, in these 52 years of marriage, one of the things that my husband decided to do, no matter if we had intense fellowship, Dr. Hopp, as you know, we don't argue, we have intense fellowship. That even after that, you know, when we're not quite, she's not quite sure if things have been settled, I love tea and I drink herbal tea. And every morning before I get out of bed, he brings me a cup of tea. And that just signifies, he tells him, find something your wife loves and do it for her unconditionally. So when he brings me that cup of tea after we've had an intense fellowship, I know his heart is saying, honey, I'm still here with you. I'm not going anywhere. Because God has ordained us to be one. And as a matter of fact, I just finished my cup of tea before we got on the radio.
Praise
I like
God.
That.
Well,
I
hope it, it wasn't before an intense fellowship, you know. But I think
as you get older and nag like we are, you have very little intense fellowship.
Very little.
You realize the importance of things. And some of those things that we had intense fellowship over before, it doesn't even matter anymore. You just, it just doesn't bother you. It just doesn't bother you.
You know, that was something that I have thought in my life because we were having difficult times also like anyone else would. And sometimes if we get to the point, you would wonder, you know, gee whiz, is this marriage really solidified or is it strong enough for us to get through these arguments and things that we have had, the difficulties? And the Lord showed me, and I tell our couples all the time, find something to always let each other know that no matter how difficult things are, we'll make it together. And to me, that one thing was that cup of tea. Now, there's been times when our intense fellowship was very, very intense. And I would still bring that cup of tea up there, and I would put it alongside the bed, and I'd get out real quick because I didn't want it to throw it on me. But it was always there to say, no matter what happens, we will always be together.
Wow.
Well, Go ahead.
I was going to say, we're at the end of the show right now because it's been such a good time. I want you guys to stay, and let's do another segment because I believe this conversation about strategies for the permanence of a union is really important for us to have. And I'm sure Juanita got questions from a woman's perspective that she might want to ask you about what are the needs of a woman inside of a marriage. And then, Wendy, I would want to know for you, what are the needs of a man, you know, inside of a marriage?
Okay.
You know, what need is God meeting to cause this oneness relationship to excel? Because, again, we have half of the people in our culture who aren't making it at this invention of God.
Right.
And then another half that seems to be able to develop the skills and the capacities and the grace to walk this out. Brothers and sisters, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Voice of Destiny show, the special segment, Couples for Destiny, so that you can be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. Our vision is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture so that you can know the full nature of life that there is in the kingdom that is of God. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. We're standing with you. We're praying with you, and we're trusting the full blessings of God to manifest in your life. Let us know how we can be praying for you. Email us at info@voiceofdestiny.org. That's info@voiceofdestiny.org. And we're talking about marriage. It is a thing that is of God, and the things that are of God must operate by faith, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we have Voice of Destiny available to you 24/7 on voiceofdestinyonline.com. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com. Stay connected and know that today is a great day because this is the day the Lord has absolutely made for you.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show with your host, Pastor Daniel Hopp. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Praise God. I'm going to go into the next show. Juanita, I'm going to let you, after I do the intro, I'm going to let you lead into the conversation to help us to understand what, you know, what a woman needs, what needs are being met of a woman in a marriage, okay?
Okay.
Juanita? Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
All right.
Okay.
We're going to start. I was referring to Juanita Harris.
Okay.
We're going to get started right now.
Welcome to the Voice of Destiny show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Welcome to the Voice of Destiny show. If today is your very first time tuning in with us, I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hodge, and my co-host today is Life Coach Juanita Harris. And our vision here is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture so that your life can realize the potential that God has ordained for you to be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. Scriptures tells us that many are the plans of man, but it's the purpose of God that prevails. And one of the purposes that God has planted in our humanity is that the man and the woman will become one, and in that oneness they would have a marriage that will be redemptive, that will be covenant in origin. And we are aiming to understand what God meant by establishing his invention called marriage in our lives as believers and as human beings, this incredible system God has given us to bring order, to sustain us, to bless us, to empower us. And we are having a conversation with Wendell and Juanita Burden, the founders of Family Life Ministries International, to help us to understand this wisdom that God has given us through his word and by his spirit to help us to walk in this incredible principle. And so I want to turn the show over at this time to my co-host, Juanita Harris, because there's a lot we need to talk about this subject concerning marriage from a woman's perspective and from a man's perspective.
Well, I think from a woman's perspective, as we were talking in the last segment, and Pastor Wendell and Juanita have a little thing that they do with the tea, and I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. My husband and I had foot rubbing, rubbing each other's feet, and over the years, people may not understand how there are small things within your marriage between the two of you that no one else can do or know about but the two of you that mm-hmm. solidify those things, your marriage together. And I know that some people that are you know, 5 years, 10 years, maybe even 15 years or 20, and they don't realize you do get to a point where what I do is overshadowed by the love that I have for this person. And it's not a love of how they look or how well they're treating me. It's a deep love. It's an agape love. And you get to that point if you have that covenant relationship, if you've developed mm-hmm. that covenant relationship. It just doesn't happen overnight, and it just doesn't, you know, fall out of the sky. You know, mm-hmm. much prayer. You're blessed that you were saved and that you had that covenant with God before you were married. But there are those out there that didn't, which I didn't, before I was mm-hmm. married. But, you know, the thing about the Word of God is that it's true. No matter where you use it, no matter whether you know him or not, the mm-hmm. Word of God is true. It works mm-hmm. if you use it. If mm-hmm. you use it, it will work. And, yeah. you know, many times we infuse our own thoughts and feelings. We don't ask for God's will. We want our will. And I can recall a time when my husband and I were having one of those wonderful fellowship times, as you call them, mm-hmm. and we had an issue about money, and I was so angry with him. It took me 3 days of walking around, talking to God, saying, God, God, God. And God finally said to me, what is more important, the money or your relationship?
Mm-hmm. Oh, amen.
And I had to bow to that. my relationship, of course, is much more important than any amount of money. But God knows where we live. He knows our hearts. Truly, He knows our hearts. And He knows where we live, and He knows how to get to that heart. And as women, I like what you said about histrionics because, you know, I can relate to that. But also in our histrionics, our emotions, a man has to take into account our emotions and how we feel because that's where we live and how we feel. And our feelings are a reflection of how we're being treated by the man in our life. You know, if we're walking in fear or if we're all walking in anger, you know, because of something going on in our relationship, it's a reflection of how we're relating to the head of the house or the head of the relationship. So it's something that is that involves both of us, as you said. It involves both of us. It involves me getting my emotions under control, and it involves my husband taking my emotions into account. Don't discount my emotions. They are real. God gave them to me. I remember when people used to say to me, God doesn't care about how you feel. Yes, He does. He does care about how I feel. That's why I can go to Him and talk to Him about anything that I feel, and He knows how to correct those feelings and do what needs to be done. So as women, Juanita, as a woman, how do you feel that you learned to relate to your husband the way he processes information and the way you process information?
That's really, really, really an interesting question. I believe for me, I had to come to the conclusion that God had my best interest at heart and that we had decided there is no way out of this marriage, that it is a contract. And then I began to literally put my total trust in Jesus, who was responsible for this man that I married, knowing that he knew Jesus Christ. And I found out that covenant does provide security for me. It provided security for me. And in my background, just real quickly, having to learn this because I was an only girl and the youngest in my family. So I was the apple of my dad's eye. So anything I wanted, anything I needed, I could literally go behind my mother, write my dad a letter, which really I found out was really not nice, and he would talk to her and say that I would need such and such. And so therefore, I came into this marriage thinking that, hey, I had to have everything that I thought that I needed, which didn't go over too well. And then the Lord had to begin to show me that that my husband was not my daddy, he was my husband. And I began to just really, really rely on and put my trust in the Father to help me to understand. He says, you begin to look at him as I see him. And I had to learn to trust him. And all that came from the fact that we're in a covenant marriage and that in that covenant we form a connection in our heart, that I could trust him, that I could rely on him, even in circumstances that I didn't even understand. I had to begin to realize that God had my best interest at heart. And I had to trust him that he was going to work it out. And it took me a long time to realize that this is my husband. He's not my daddy.
Wow.
And it came through the idea of trusting God for me to see in him that my husband knew Jesus and he was going to work it out. And I think that can work for anyone. Sometimes you feel like, I can't trust this person, but you can trust your Creator.
Wow.
And that's how I began to let go of that. And it didn't mean whether it was good or bad, upside down or anything else, that there was no way God was going to hurt me in any situation.
Well, this brings up the importance of emotional safety. The husband and the wife, we do go into covenant union looking for shelter, looking for protection and safety. Mm-hmm. And I would love to talk about that when we come back from this break window about how do we as men live up to that responsibility of offering our wives not only physical safety but emotional safety in the union, and what aspects of expectations or needs do we as men have, and how can women be aware of how to better and more effectively minister to the needs of covenant and emotional safety in the marriage. We'll be right back.
And God loses his love. If you lose your love, and I lose my love,
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and doled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you just tuned in, you're listening to a special segment of the Voice of Destiny show. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hobbs, and my co-host today is Life Coach Juanita Harris. And we are talking to our guests, Wendell and Juanita Burden, the founders of Family Life Ministries, about the power of oneness. And we're specifically discussing about the issue of safety, you know, emotional and covenant safety in a marriage. Help us to understand as men, how do we carry the burden of that, the responsibility of that, and how do we effectively relate to our wives in a way that ministers to their needs, but also protects the safety that we look for in a marriage relationship, Brother Wendell?
Yes, one of the things that I look at there that I think is so important is I use Jesus as a prime example of how a man should treat his wife is the way that Jesus treated the church. And I know when I read the scripture, it tells us that how he loved the church, how he nourished the church, how he was a protector of the church. All of these things he did to the church to make the church beautiful, even using the word of God, he cleansed it with his word. Everything he did was an example of how we are to treat our wives. And then ultimately, when he gets through after that, after he tells us everything how he treated the church, his next thing he said was, and then he presented it to himself. And so when I look at my wife, I know the things that I see she needs. I know she needs protection. I know she needs security. I know she needs her emotional things taken care of. I know all of these things that me as her husband has a responsibility to make sure that she is taken care of in those areas. And then whenever I've done all of the things that I know I'm supposed to do, and I look at her and I say, I present her to myself. I look at her and say, that's my wife. That's my baby. I'm proud to say, that's my baby. That's my honey. You know, that's my wife. And so when we go out somewhere, I'm proud to say, because I know I've tried to give her everything that God has ordained me to give to her to make her the woman that God has designed her to be. And so yeah. I get excited about that. When I see my wife, I'm excited. And, you know, I even go on when I'm doing seminars, and I'll tell the men, if you see something in your wife that you think needs to be corrected, and you would like to have it for yourself, you know, I say, if you don't like the way your wife's hair is fixed, you pay to have it done. You get it done and do it, have it done the way you like it. And then look at her and say, yeah, that's my baby. That's my honey, you know. And let her know you're proud the way she is. And that's one of the ways we have to do with our wives, to let them know that we do appreciate them. And then to go on to say, you know, just what does a man need? We do a seminar, and we ask the men, well, in fact, we ask the wives, and my wife normally tells the ladies, there's 10 things that women really need, and she names off those 10 things. Mm-hmm. And then I tell them, well, there's 10 things that men really need to have also in a marriage, and I name off my 10 things. And my 10 things is, first of all, respect. A man needs to have respect. And then I say he has to have sex. He needs respect and he needs sex. He needs respect and he needs sex. If he can get those things, there's nothing a man won't do for his wife.
Amen.
If she just respect him. And respect is very important. That gives him the right sometimes to make mistakes. That gives him a right to be able to go forth and do the things that God's designed him to do without being criticized every time he tries to do something.
Yeah.
That's the kind of respect that a man really needs. If he can get that, a man will always be happy to get those two things. And there's nothing more a man would want to do for his family.
Amen.
Yeah. And especially starting off, because a lot of times we men start off in our marriages not as men of God, but the boys of God. And it takes some time for us to grow up in that office, in that responsibility.
Right.
And that respect gives us the room to do the growing. And
absolutely.
And I got to tell you, that validation that we get from our wives is everything to us. I mean, the world can think we're incredible, but if our wives think that we're losers, then in our minds, we're losers, no matter what the world says about us. And so God gives the woman that incredible scepter of love to be able to validate us and empower us to walk in the vision and the journey and the process that God has for us in this union. But I thought that was really important, that whole idea of what a man needs to we need to be understand that. I mean, men, we need to understand that we're wired in such a way that that's important to us, because a lot of times we don't know how to articulate, because our wives are asking, what do you need? What's important to you? And we don't know how to say with words, you know, actually what is important. But it's also important that we understand what our wives need and understand. And so I want to take a break here so that we can come back and talk about your best strategies, the best strategies for marriages coming in. We talked about a lot of different things, but I want you to think a moment about what are some of the best strategies that families need to model in the context of their marriage life. Because when we're having a marriage and we brought children into this, we're not only nurturing and protecting our family, we're protecting families that are going to be apostoloed out of our union, out of our oneness, to form their own family. And this imagery, you know, what our children actually see, young children, but also you have adult children, you know, what is it that we need to model to them in order to build this culture and this invention of God called marriage, so that we can have a greater witness for the kingdom? We'll be right back.
Now, I don't want to lose the time that we have. When you really think way to bad, let's stay together.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, guys. You're listening to the Voice of Destiny show if you just tuned in. Our vision here is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture. I want to let you know that Voice of Destiny is available to you 24/7 on voiceofdestinyonline.com. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com. This is important because we're talking about marriage, and marriage is something that God invented. And the things that God invented, it requires faith to operate it. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So visit with us again on Voice of Destiny DanielHopsOnline.com so that we can continue to pour the faith of kingdom culture inside of you so that you can be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. Again, our guest today is Wendell and Juanita Burden, founders of Family Life Ministries International. And if we can just state the name of your website, and that way everybody can connect with your address, your telephone number, and your location to be able to get access on a local level for those that are listening to our show that is in the Pennsylvania community that want to be able to take their family and their marriage to the next level. I highly recommend the Family Life Ministries International and these incredible ministry gifts. Juanita Burden, who have carried a vision for marriage and one flesh marriage for years and have translated that into an incredible local church culture that God has established through the work that he's established in their ministry, this church, and this academy that's touching the emerging generation. So I wanted to put that out there. If you can give us your web address, that would be very helpful. And then let's talk about your best strategies for marriage and modeling marriage.
Yes, our web address is familyflmi.us, and we're at 617 West Market Street in York, Pennsylvania. That's our location, and that's our website.
Praise God.
When I look at vision for how do we, get families together to get them in the direction, there's so many aspects of that question. There's so many parts of it that really works together. But one of the things that I like to use quite a bit, and I just recently even did a sermon on this not long ago, and that is the scripture says without a vision we perish. And I find that even though we try to get visions and for our lives and different things we do, we also have to have a vision for our families. Mm-hmm. And what I see is that many families have no vision for where they're going to. And so they become very stagnant. It just becomes a very mundane thing, day in and day out, day in and day out, survive them for distance, but have no direction of where they're going. And so my thing is with families, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. And if you get there, you never know when you arrive. So you have to have a vision of where you're going. If you don't have that, marriages just, after a period of time, it just becomes very mundane, becomes very, what's the word I want to use? The same old, same, same old. Just, like I said, the same old, same old. Nothing ever changes.
Yeah, boring.
You have to have a vision for where you're going. Without that, I can assure you, your family will become very muddled.
Wow. Yeah, and there's so many things that happen. There's so many things that happen in the life of a culture, of a couple, that takes them off course. And if you don't have a specific destination where you're going, you'll find yourself lost all the time. And so that's really important. So you said vision. It's very important that a couple comes into that.
Vision.
What will be the next strategy, the next principle after vision established?
In pursuing that vision, again, we have to come together knowing that God has brought us into this covenant that we've been talking about. And as we begin, even with our children, even as we did it with our son, as we was talking to him yesterday, they become a part of that vision. They become excited about what we're doing. And they begin to see that their parents are really walking in a covenant relationship. And then they know that they can trust us as we trust God. And later, that same feeling, that same covenant is applied to your child's heart. They realize that they not only can count on you, but they can count on God. And so we have said this to our son, it takes two to tango, but it takes three to triumph in a relationship. So it takes mommy, daddy, and most of all Jesus Christ for us to accomplish in this relationship. And that's what we've lived by. He's given us vision. Every year we get a new vision. Sometimes God keeps us in the old vision. And then we come together in our covenant and begin to, okay, God, show us how we are to apply this. Show us how we are to do this. Because when you're in that covenant, there's no way out of this situation. We don't default. We're in this together, and God's going to help us to work it out.
Yes. You must understand, even when people get married, they have these prenuptial agreements. That's a contract. And God does not want us into a contract. He wants us into a covenant relationship. And once you understand you're in a covenant relationship and you know there's no way out, that's when you'll start fighting. I tell people quite often, if you're inside of a building or inside of a room and this room catches fire and there's no doors and there's no windows way to get out, what's your next best thing? And that's to fight the fire. And that's what you have to do in a marriage. When you're in that covenant relationship and things get hard and difficult times, let's fight the fire. That's how we're going to get victory over the circumstances in our marriages.
And the other thing we try to let them know, outside of a personal relationship with Christ, there is nothing in life more serious, more important than a relationship with your mate. Not your job, not a house, not your hobbies, nothing. Mm. We always establish a priority. And it's God first, then your mate. Because as females, we get that out of line. We sometimes slide our children in before we do our mate.
Wow.
And that's one of the things that I find hard for wives to accept.
Yes.
They need you, but you still have to put your husband first. Christ, and then your spouse.
Your spouse. Amen.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Don't realize that, you know, after 18, 20-some years, the children will be gone. And it'll be the
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do with this person that you have not spent time building that relationship, keeping that relationship, and when you wake up one morning and look at them and wonder, who is this? And, you know, I was going to say that a lot of times, you know, this process of growing older together, you know, you go through many stages of, you know, having children, the children growing up, the children leaving home, the children having children, and you have to grow through that, and there's changes in your relationship. You know, I always say you have to go back to that. This is the person I love. This is the person I married. And although, you know, they don't look the same as they did when we were 18, but they are the person in character, and that's why our character is so important. That, you know, we're not marrying somebody how they look or what they can do for us. We're marrying them because they have a character and something about them that keeps us interested.
Now, let me ask this question, because we talked about the importance of vision, and we entered into talking about priority, that our spouse, her, after God, is the most important. That relationship is the most important thing. There are other things that compete for the power and the potential and the resource of oneness in marriage. How do we address these competitions? And should we be aware that there are some common things that will compete for that that oneness and that priority of marriage in life and that we need to be aware of to protect our union from?
I'm gonna answer that.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we just last night had a couple that, yes, I think we have to realize that the culture itself is trying to strip the marriage of its meaning. And one of the things I think that gets to me the most is that even we want our children to be involved in things, we know that's good for them to be active, but everything that they do seems to fall on a Sunday where you can't even worship together or take up that space and time. So we have to make and a decision and decide that no matter what it takes, and it's going to take the couple to do this, because the culture itself, as I said, is determined to strip the marriage of its meaning. So we have to decide from the start that we will take the time to do the work, to do whatever it takes to keep their marriage growing and glowing from the wedding day. Because we said, and take death to his part. And if we don't make that initiative, we'll fall just like the rest of them. That's why it's 50-50. There's hardly no difference in the church and then those who know Jesus and those who don't, because we don't take the time. Whatever it takes to make sure this marriage works, because that's the best thing for our children. Sure, we want them to play football or be a cheerleader, but more than that, they need to see this image of the church, which is a marriage relationship, because the world is going to try to negate it no matter how hard we try to do it differently. They're going to try to change it for us. And we have to make the decision that we're going to spend that time and make sure that it works.
You know, one of the things that we get ourselves involved in, too, is the financial aspects of marriage. And we finally, when we get married, we want the new cars, we want the new house, we want the new this, we want the new that. And we get to the point where a husband and wife have to work. They don't have a choice. Both of them have to work to bring the funds in. And then they find themselves letting their jobs become their priorities. They, one's working one shift, the other one's working the other shift. They have no opportunity to see each other. Their children are being raised by whoever may be having to raise them. The money's going into child care homes or whoever's coming in to take care of the child, and yet they have no opportunity to spend time together. Society has put us into the point today is that unless you got a brand two brand new cars, not just one, two brand new cars, you got to have the biggest house in the area, and that starts taking priority in our lives. And when that happens, difficulty is on the road. You can see it down the road. It's going to happen.
Wow. Well, this is
so we have
this has
to
been
make
a great
commitment. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, my husband was second on there. It just boils down to making a commitment with your spouse and with God. And God's going to hold you accountable because I think Juanita Harris mentioned this. It doesn't matter whether you know that these laws work or not. They are working in your life, whether you're saved or whether you're not. If you don't believe in gravity and you jump off the building, you will hit the bottom. So you, God's going to hold you accountable because you chose his system of marriage.
Amen.
And so therefore, you have to make that commitment with your spouse, with God, that you're going to make this total commitment that we're going to do what you ask us to do. And breaking that covenant is going to lead to nothing less than disaster in your relationship.
Wow. Well, thanks. I got to tell you that this wisdom that God has given to us will give us the ability to fight, protect, and to nurture the oneness that God has called us to. Matthew 19:6 says, so they are no longer two, but they are one. And that becoming oneness is a process that demands wisdom. And I want to thank Wendell and Juanita Burden, the founders of Family Life Ministries International, for bringing us that wisdom. And we're grateful. Juanita and I are grateful for you guys taking the time out to make the investment in the marriages of our listeners and in our marriage, you know, and I got to tell you, truth will set you free. It will make you free, and I want to thank you guys for making that investment. Today is a great day, Saints. Remember, it's the day the Lord has made for you. Voice of Destiny Online.com is available to you 24/7 to build your faith up for the covenant marriage that God has in store for you. God bless. Have a great one.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Wow, that was a blessing. That was
praise
a blessing.
You.
It went really
thank
fast.
You. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
It went in very fast.
It did. That was quick.
Yes. I'm going to email you guys and call you guys when to let you know when the show is going to air. As you guys know, I'm rushing out to go to a meeting. But
that's
I thank
all right.
Everybody.
We understand. God bless you.
I'm
going to
call
later.
Everybody
all
back.
Right,
and thank you. Have a good one. God bless.
Okay, have a nice one. Bye-bye.